نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Oh, we got a brand and a culture and a dialect. I'm seeing that. I can't help it. Oh, someone comes along, like the brother said, honestly, somebody's blowing up with your praise and nation is on, right? Some people are already in it, bucket deep. How are they going to get out now? Well, they went around their family and said, listen, you better not keep no walk with all black mamas and get the message and not from on the star. The whole family was on the hotel. Hey, that's what grandma thought about Jesus was born, grandma. I got all this dialogue going, and now someone says, you're wrong. What do I do with that? I gotta go back to all my brothers and say, first, you know, niggas don't apologize. But I gotta go back and say, I was wrong about everything I said to you. We don't do that. We say, I knew it all the time. I was just weak. I knew it was something a little greater coming. I just walked alongside him for a while. That's the stuff we do. Now that it's come down, the Taliban just came on loading the other day. Instead of saying we did things, they say, everything I was taught, I feel is wrong. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It means I feel it's wrong. It doesn't mean the unbelievable Muhammad is wrong. It don't seem right to me. And hope that someone don't say, explain yourself. Somebody never did anyway. Only did the time of he never really explained himself. He had taken the time to explain himself to his career, he would have been better understood. But when you have a doctrine that doesn't explain itself, like, believe it. Believe me. Say, I don't want to believe you. I want to know. We're going to have faith then. I don't want any faith. I want some facts. I want some confirmation, some conviction, some realities. I have enough of that crap. What happens? What happens to the Bible of the system when people start to question? If it's not founded on any firm principles, it starts to fall apart. And believe you, I'm going to tell you, the worst thing the white man could ever did was to put a computer in a black man's hand. Because he took illiterate people and made them literate. So Christians say, that's what Jesus meant when he told me to meet the dumbfounded wise. Now that's a good verse for you to work with. They ain't got no sense to use it, though. I would have said, if I was Christian, that's what God meant. You will bring the computer, make a meet sometimes. I wanted to see right now, find things about Hebrew and all the languages and just all the thing called Logos Bible and lexicon, just break down words and see how things are just not the way you've been saying it was when I had the King James Version when I was talking with. I don't feel good about it. I want you to come back on the air and straighten this mess up. Who do I ask? The Pope? Who do I ask? To straighten the mess out. I know when it comes to Egyptology, I know who y'all at. Me. And my job is to sit here and address these things. Where's the other guys? I'm addressing questions for Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and I can't ask nobody questions. And I guess you know I got some questions. I have 350 questions to ask everybody who knows in trouble, and some people I haven't met yet. I got some questions to ask. You know, niggas can always ask questions. You hear me? Because they can't stand it. That's a sign for us in the day and time. A sign for us to put it all behind us to move. Like I said earlier over there, we can find ourselves, our faces on the wall in Egypt. This nose, eyes, and hair question. Right on down to our pot belly. Our not knees. Our women with big hips and thin calves. All that's on the wall of Egypt, sisters. We see it. Adam, no pouches, it's all the shame. It's on the wall in Egypt. And if that's what the Egyptian woman looks like, then hell, y'all beautiful love, because that's who we are. We got to stop chasing a little Quentin. Then with a little frail white girl with nothing. And that's what it's about. We're going to have to accept it because what? You with me? And we got to move to this new millennium. A new message to people. You know what that message is? I'm from Missouri. Show me. Hello. Simple shit. I mean, Rev, I love you. Guy, my grandmother prayed there. My great-grandmother in the church. I was raised in Martin. Show me, Bob. Can I talk to you in your office privately? I don't want to insult you in front of the congregation. And you might do some gas with you. I'll talk to you over here in private. And I want to talk to you about me bringing my kids here. Because my mother brought me here for Sunday school. I didn't realize they were saying Egyptian God's son. At the end of every prayer, we said, and I didn't know we were talking about the God Amun-Ra. I didn't realize it. I was dumbfounded. I was brainwashed. When I said Jesus is the bright early morning star, I didn't say that's the son. Jesus walks the water. The sun walks the water every morning. When it comes up, the light walks the water. Then sure, I couldn't see all that. I couldn't see the mystical meaning of the Bible. But I was blinded by the light. Right? That light hit me in my face, and I couldn't see. See, the Freemasons and them give you this about when you get in the lodge, and it's dark, when they take the blindfold off, now you can see. That's not true. If I blindfold you and take you into a lit room, when I pull the blindfold off, it takes time for your eyes to adjust to that room. You are still blind and at my mercy. You hear me? But what they're really telling us is that we are nocturnal beings. You do know that, right? And if we get into a black room, pitch black, it takes a little while for our eyes to adjust. Where does the light come from, brother? Where does it come from? I'm all the way back over there. You know how I teach, right? You'll think I forgot about someone way over there. Where does it come from? If I walk into all black room, after a while I begin to see inside, the light came on somewhere. Where did the light come on at? Right inside here, in the soul. The soul, the word soul in Latin is sun. The light comes on inside and gives me the ability to see in dark, and that should make a nocturnal creature. So they can pull light out of darkness and see it. Caucasians can't do it. You follow? And that's why they make you sleep with the light on. They always sleep with the light on. Islam teaches that. Christianity don't never sleep in the dark. You know why? Because you learn to face yourself. You know the bad thing about facing yourself? Sometimes you scare the hell out of you. Now you know you went in the room by yourself. And you know you shut the door behind you. Right? Ain't nobody in the room but you and you. All of a sudden, you lay there saying something. Something watching you. You ever get that feeling? You look at the coat on the wall, on the door, and it's your coat. You hung the coat there. And all of a sudden, the coat becomes a man looking at you like this. The man with... You know, man, you know what that is? That's the devil inside you trying to get out and attack you. Ain't nobody in the room but you, God. And if there's a you, God, there's also a you, devil, there. So you know we're just as good as we are bad. Anybody walking around saying holy got a lot of holes in their stuff. Ain't no preacher, teacher, no, the Pope is speaking. Believe me. If you're a mortal, you have mistakes. And any man who thinks he doesn't have mistakes, don't trust him. One of the models I've been teaching y'all for years, and I'll say it again today, and I'll illuminate them. Don't believe me. Check it out. And I just ask every preacher, every teacher, make that same declaration. Don't believe them. Don't believe nothing I'm saying. Say, that nigga crazy. That's what you say. He's nuts. I ain't believing. He said, I'm going to check it out. Check it out. Investigate it. Scrutinize it. I've been around Jesus since 1970, been being asked questions every week for men, and I've never yet had a problem with it. I don't care where they come from, or what their doctrine is, how heavy they think they are, I'll walk with them. Some of y'all are right here with me doing it. And I've been saying the same thing, don't believe what I say, check it out. But also say that to them. Don't just do it to me. Go to the shrine of Black Madonna, let me ask you a question. Why shrine? That word right there, why shrine? You know what shrine is. Why that? Why the Black Madonna? You say, why Black? And why Madonna? I'm not talking about the singer Madonna. That was sick, y'all niggas. I'm talking about Madonna, sorry, bro. I'm talking about, you know, the whole court of Madonna put us back into the Roman doctrine of Christianity. And a blessed Mother Mary. A Mary, the Mother of God. God is all-powerful and almighty, got a mother. God was born. I mean, God was born in a manger. God was passing through the cavity or the channel of a woman. God came out and had a cord that had to be cut. Then God had to have the liquid that's in his lungs pumped out, otherwise God would have drowned the moment he was born. God was dependent. Can God ever be dependent and be God? Can God be born and be God? You see what they've done to us. Can God have a mother? And the mother perceived God. The mother was there first. If she gave birth to God. Are you with me? Well, the mother was there first, and the mother is. Mary was God. Jesus was the Son of God. Ain't that what they said? But Mary was God. Now you say, wait a minute, man, that sounds kind of crazy. Of course it sounds crazy when you are under a belief system. But when you start analyzing the facts, let's do it a little scientific thing. All right. Jesus, all you can walk with me as you know where I'm going. Jesus was a little girl child, right? No. Jesus was a boy child. That means Jesus had an X and Y chromosome, right? Like all other men on the planet. And Jesus was a man, and we knew he was a man because he got circumcised on the 8th day. That helps us to know him. You know what that means if women don't. Some of us even remember it. So Jesus, according to the Bible, was circumcised on the 8th day. That's established that Jesus was a man. He belonged to the male gender. And that means Jesus had an X and Y from me. All right. Now, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Is that fact? That's what the Bible teaches us. That's true. And women, female gender, only have two X, no Y chromosome. Correct? Mary was by herself. When the angel Gabriel came to her and said, Hail Mary, full of grace. Thou hast chosen of all the women in the world. You are about to conceive, right, of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God, and you should call his name Emmanuel, meaning God be with us, or God is with us. Ain't that what the Bible says? Now, I have a problem. All that sounds good for nice stories. Good for prayer. Good for that kind of thing. When I come down to the scientific part of this thing, then I have a problem. You know what I mean? The problem is, where did the Y come from? Now, the angel Gabriel came. We know Gabriel is a man. The book of Daniel said Gabriel is a man. That's Gabriel. We know Gabriel. For those who know what I mean. For those who don't, Gabriel had semen if he was a man. And in Gabriel's semen, there had to be a Y chromosome. I'm not saying Gabriel didn't even marry yet. I ain't saying this either. I want to get all the way to get the senior place first so we'll find out if it makes any sense. You with me? So here we got Mary, a woman. Two X chromosomes. No Y. And you come to Mary and tell her she's going to give birth to a son. To a son. He's predicting there's going to be a Y chromosome there. Mary ends up pregnant. Joseph didn't do it. Joseph came home with a Y chromosome, but Joseph was dumb. We know that because he had other children. And Joseph wanted to know, Mary, you know what? I'm pregnant. Stop. Let's get away from the religion and the crap and get to reality. Mary's pregnant. Now, the point that she's pregnant, he has no idea of knowing whether it's a male or female child. Correct? He don't know yet until the baby's born. But now we got 9 months to figure this thing out. Correct? There ain't nothing deep about it because this same guy, Gabriel, he gets around. Gabriel also visited Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, a couple of months earlier, and visited her. And her husband, Zachariah, a priest, was saying, I ain't got it up in you. I ain't had a resurrection or erection. And yes, I can't have no baby. No, I mean, like, he's asking Elizabeth, how you get pregnant? This is real. Let's get all the religious crap and get down to it. It was you when you came home and your wife said, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to talk to the Holy Ghost. His first name, Holy? Like Holy Field? Or like his last name, Ghost? What, I was talking to you. He was paying about a holy water. That's a goat. He'll be the goat. Y'all don't come up where that baby came from. Don't run that crap like you would say, oh, darling. That is so wonderful. You was in your room or your tent by yourself, and a light came down, and it overpowered you, and now you're pregnant. Baby, that's you. We're gonna walk this thing together. Bull crap. You be like raising hands, throwing sandals around, and tipping over breaking sticks. You break the angel wings, and you be blowing out. And so did Joseph, read your Bible. Well, Joseph, in his mind, could not imagine how Mary could have got pregnant. And he wasn't saying that one. Well, trying to figure out she got pregnant when he wasn't there. Well, somebody was in there with a Y chromosome. Scientific fact versus religious bullcrap that we've been indoctrinated with by the slave master who gave us the same religion that he enslaved us with. Same bullcrap. To make us turn the other cheek so he can keep slapping us. So if you keep me and you on the bottom of the totem pole, he keeps making us worship his image and his likeness. Image is me. I ain't going to fall, but I still want to know where in the wire I come from. I know if I was Joseph, I'd be mad as all hell. And you would not be able to tell me that no light came in the house and you got pregnant. Would you, buddy? The religion in the world won't support that in my mind. But when Jesus was born in the manger, we're doing a Christmas thing. And wise men knew about it. Everybody knew Joseph's business. He came from Persia. All of the Persian would have been, that was his business thing. Joseph, especially when he thrilled there to
a form of truth in our soul. And work it inside and use it so I can use it against me. So we as a people can't unite. That's how they want to. And it makes us believe bullcrap, unreality, fiction, fable, Tarzan, Superman, Bionic Man, Superwoman, a little talking rat now. What the hell next? Our children were turtles 5 years ago. Ninja Turtles.
Then.
What else? Barney, a perfect dinosaur. They got all inspired and messed up our minds. But when it comes to Egypt, they made a little bit of terror to your They had a new mummy movie out. The only black people in the movie is the Pharaoh boy. Is that everything? After she cheated like women always do. After she cheated on the Pharaoh, the Pharaoh is born there. The door open, the nigga said right there. You saw that? The nigga that got shown up peachy walk. I was like, this is it. They're literally telling you that the soldiers or the royal gods of Amun Ra were the niggas. Hello. But they saturate the women with Caucasian, pretending they're us. And then they give us fictitious creatures. Hercules. Now Hercules got a girlfriend, I forgot her name. What's her name? Lady Peter, she's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I thought I got a bunch, got away, didn't you? Back to the Y chromosome. Just a little bit of time. When Jesus was born in the manger, and the wise men came, a boy baby was there. Where did the Y chromosome come from? Scientists, cut the crap. The hell with the reverend, the pastors, and the rabbis on that board. Go to your mind, go to your computer, and study chromosomes. Where did it come from? Explain it, reverend. Can't do. And they'll call you all kind of names, blasphemous. They'll call us a suicide cult. White people commit suicide. You can't even beat a nigga to death. Did you see the Rodney King thing? Rodney King was hanging on the light like he was missing that nigga for 3 hours. White person getting one time up. We're a suicide cult because we don't conform to that Baltimore. Because I want my children to see themselves as something great. All my children I call Prince something or Princess. That's their first name. My son's name is Amun. He's called Prince Amun. If my daughter's name is, let's say, Isis, she's called Princess Isis. I put it in their mind. I don't put that on their birth certificate. I put that in their mind, on their birth certificate. Not on a piece of paper, but on a piece of heart. I teach my children to want to be nerds. You teach your children to want to be hip. I teach my children to be proud to be nerds. Well, now when their birthday come around, ask them what they want. You know what they say? A book. I want a book. Give me some books, Father. And it wasn't no gun. That's what they don't play with guns. I made a mistake and gave them some water guns. When they shot me, they go play with them if you give it to them. Ain't no doubt about it. But that's on television. You gotta put something different in your children's head than that you're giving us, because whatever it is, it has not been working for us. It works for them. But it don't work for me and you. You wouldn't, the system you got set up, his education system, is working for them. But it's more them being there than us. More them controlling things than us. So we gotta come with a system or something that works for us. And that thing that works for us is first self-identity. Who the hell am I? I need some roots to grow. I ain't got no roots to hear in America. I can't grow here in his culture. Of course, as a Native American, I can, but what did he do to that? He reserved that until after the year 2000, meaning he put me up on a reservation. Are you with me? We have got to make that decision now. Because we're in the new millennium. We've got to make the system to get them back their bulls. And have our own stuff. Like I said right before, Melissa, God is aiming tornadoes. Ain't no tornadoes in no black neighborhood. What's the possibility of 20 tornadoes just in black neighborhood? Earthquake, landslide, planes. Now, you know why the planes are crashing and the trains are crashing? Because the Y2K we knew, because our doctor told us, don't be looking at 12 o'clock midnight, look past it, because the calendar's on. But the planet's on a 23-degree axis, so the time zone is not accurate any longer. We knew this because the price time happened to Y2K. Then you're thinking, oh, it's a love bug today. It's a love letter tomorrow. It's the so-and-so. Everybody knows that America collapsed. It's a stock market fell right after the year 2000. And they still haven't been able to pick it up. Everybody knows it's a reality. Everybody knows these love bugs are part of Y2K. Computers are shutting down. And they're calling them love bugs, but they can't explain it. Hackers don't even know what's going on. Come on, folks. Wake up, y'all. Get out of the coffin. Stop believing it. The man's power has fallen. He is down like Goliath on one knee, David. It's time for you to pick up that sword and take his head. Otherwise, he's going to get up. And I don't mean take his head out of me, because you ain't got no stealth. You got a 9mm. You can shoot it yourself with a 9mm. Oh, they're going to pull a whole bunch of them up this here ground. I think you're going to really fight. We're going to go, we ain't got that kind of war no more. It's a war of dependency. The man is depending on you now. He ain't making agreements with China because he wants to. He's making agreements with China because he has to. He don't want to deal with it. But China don't have no love for America and no fear for them. The Chinese men are not attracted to white women. But nigga men are. Chinese men are satisfied with their woman. Indians are satisfied with only people trying to get out their races is you. Trying to save white women. Avoid women of color. That's what you do. You go past Oriental, past Latino, and go right after some blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, canine. Sorry, but it's a bill. Hello, wake up. I'm dancing. Funny nigga, you know one of the most satisfying things I see on television is when a hurricane wipes it away. And they be standing there like this. I don't know what it would do. I might take my pants down in front of one of y'all, then turn my back on some cracker nowadays. Well, nowadays, or any day, you understand what I'm talking about? And we got the power to do it. We got the power to do it. You see all these folks out here? We got the power to do it. There's a mysteries of each between you. Secrets, science, and now you can have it. Now you can intervene to each education and learn who and what. Who built it? Why? Medicine, how? Secrets, symbols, being human. Into each education. Now.
As you were talking a few minutes ago about the Semitic languages and the scriptures, the Arabic and the Hebrew, how does that correlate to the Nuwabic language?
All right. What people always want to know is why is there so much Arabic or Hebrew in Nuwabic? The truth is that the people called the Hikat Hasus or the Hyksos were from the Canaanite tribe. The Canaanite tribe migrated into Egypt around the 15th dynasty and stayed in there for 430 years. While there, of course, they took on the Egyptian culture. And they also took on some of the language and dialect. And then they migrated back out of there and went back to the land of Canaan, set up the city of Kadesh. And now they have this new dialect they were speaking that was different from the original Aramic or Ugaric, different from the original Akkadian, different from the original cuneiform script. They had something that had new words because they were in a new environment. And for instance, if I never was exposed to sand, if I came up here, there is no sand, and I spoke a certain language, when I got here and I asked this young lady, what is this stuff here, you know? What is this? You would say, sand. And I'd go, say it again.
Sand.
So I go back to my people and say, man, I'm going to see what I'm going. And I said, that's the regular. I met this man. Well, who is still here? Inform me. I need to tell you funny stuff called sand. I can't translate it in my language. I have to say, oh, they're not sand. So now, other guys who are there for my language, and they go on and talk, they say, you know, what's him talking about some bright, flaky stuff? Or everything and everything is in the language until they come to the word sand. So when a group of people migrate to another place and they start seeing things in other languages that pertain to that place, they grasp it into their language. Plus you have what's called a dialect. The pronunciation is usually shot. So now what happens is, you had Egyptians. Let me go back further than that, if I may. When you're reading the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, they speak about the rivers of Isan and Gihon. The word Isan is broken into two words, dis and on. I should have said it in Hebrew, dis, not piss. Dishon and Gihon. And Gihon is really saying Gish-on. On is the deity of what? The Atlantis of Egypt. Those two rivers are actually in the Torah, in the Old Testament, had two Egyptian names, but they're making it look like that these are Hebrew names, but they admit that Abraham was first called Hebrew in Genesis chapter 13. So there's no way in the world those rivers could be Hebrew names, but the language is different yet. So therefore, anything between, from Genesis 13 back, anybody's name you got is Egyptian. That's interesting, because Ibrahim was the first one called Hebrew. And they called him Ibrit, which is the way to say Hebrew, simply because he crossed the Tigris Euphrates Valley. And the word Ibrit means to come from one side to the other, to cross over. So the people on the other side spoke a language.
And they said to him, God is this, or behold the Hebrew, the man who crossed over. So therefore, the very word Hebrew is not even Hebrew. The man he was talking to was Phoenician, because they lived between the Tigris Valley. So the word Hebrew is a Phoenician word, not a Hebrew word. You see what I'm saying? So now here we are, back in Genesis, where they speak about the land of Cush, because they say that the gold of that land, good, and they use the word Ethiopian in Genesis, way back in Genesis 2. But Cush was not born until Genesis chapter 10. And if Cush was not born until Genesis chapter 10, who was the Cush being mentioned in Genesis chapter 2? This implies that those people that they say lived near the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, that the flood that they say applies to Noah really took place in Egypt. The Mount of Ararat was not over there in Persia, it was in Egypt. And that's why they've been digging in Persia for the last 2,000 years and haven't found the ark. They can dig for another 2,000 years and they won't find the ark. But they have found many arcs or menjes along the Nile. And the Nile used to run straight up and it sprinkles into the Mediterranean Sea and then flows straight into the Persian Gulf. If I'm there, so you think of a flood exploding upward in the tide, and the Nile moves from down in South Africa upward. If an ark was built there, it would lift it up. Take it to the Mediterranean where it was red, then it would go off. It would follow the tide off into the mountains. But, at the point, Cush, the name, Ethiopia, is mentioned in Genesis 2, and Cush wasn't born until Genesis 10. Then the word Ham. Many scholars, especially the Greeks who visited there, they didn't call the place Egypt first. They called the place Hemet, or Kemet, or Hemet. And that's the same as the word Ham, who related to Cush. You see? Now the Bible tells us that the Egyptians, and whenever it uses the word Egyptian, they use the word Mitzrayim. They use the word Mitzrayim. They say that Mitzrayim was in Egypt. But they don't speak of the migration of Mitzrayim from Sumeria to Egypt. Because what happened is, they have to trace how they left Egypt, went over to the Middle East, and then returned back home. And that's why you have the three dynastic period of people coming back in, trying to fight for their land. And the Phoenicians and them are fighting to get back in Egypt, because they're trying to get back in, but they had already been out there in the land of Canaan and mixing with the Canaanites. So Egyptians didn't accept them. They were mixed, and they were trying to keep their so-called bloodline pure, but they gave in succession by blood relatives and say, well, we do not do. And then son, father, son. So they couldn't have tribes who went off and mixed. And that's why if you look in the Bible, in the story of Jacob and Esau, you find as soon as Esau gets mad because his birthright is taken, he's not going to marry some Edomites. He was putting him against even with Isaac by saying, well, because Isaac gave Jacob my rights, I'm just going to marry out my tribe. That was a big thing. So the Egyptians, who were people of the Bible, the same people, had the same goal. And they did not want to mix seed back in. So the Kishet Hasus came back in, fought their way in, gradually took over, and set up. And didn't get put out until Atmos and then rose up against them and chased them, which were the original Israelites. You think about the Hyksos, that was the original Israelites, pushed them out back to them. So you'll find, therefore, that the languages are here. So the ancient Semitic languages are coming out of ancient Egypt, and thus the prophet is going to have words in it that sounds like Arabic or Hebrew, because they came from mixing with Egyptians and then took it back to the Middle East. Okay?
around that. I'm an Eastern Star, and I was wondering, as I seek to become a daughter of Isis, how Isis. I'm kind of nervous for you to become a daughter of Isis. If you are an Eastern Star, then you're already a daughter of Isis, especially if you intend to become one. Because everybody's heart gets there before your heart. Yeah, I just want to say, I figured I'd be helpful. Just to relax.
What are my goals so far as becoming an Eastern Star and so far as with the shrine?
Lady Shriner.
Lady Shriner.
The Lady Shriner's job is the same as ours. You have to help us find Mary. And where Mary is going to give birth to Jesus on earth. And we have to be there to create a circle around him. And you have to be there to help us the same way as possible went out into the field to protect the father when he was struck down. Your job is just as hard as ours. And that's why the Eastern Star's doctrine is based on Christianity, much more than information. Most of your teaching in Eastern Star is based on that star from the East, the star that who acknowledged? Was it the Christians, the Jews, who acknowledged the star? Who acknowledged the star? Who followed the star? The wise men. Now, the wise men are thought of to be three men who stepped into the time of history, did a great act, and then just disappeared. Is that not right? Stepped in, went to the manger, saw the child who they referred to not as God, but as the king, Melech, looked down at him, gave gifts, and took and went and met Herod. And they found out that Herod had a scheme to kill Jesus. They went back and told Jesus, Joseph, Herod is getting ready to kill your son. Then they went back to Herod. Herod asked him, did you see the boy? And he said, no, wait a second. Right? And then Joseph was visited by an extraterrestrial, which is called an angel in the Bible. Angelos just means a messenger. Angelos. A messenger from God came down, it says, came from somewhere. I can get touchy here too. And went to Joseph and told Joseph, you take my son, God says, take my son out of this city and take him to Egypt and sojourn there until Herod dies. With me? Are you ready for the upset? Huh? Why was that necessary? Why was that at all necessary? Why would God have to hide his son? Why couldn't God just wave his hand and nobody touch his son? Was it predestined, as most Christians teach, that Jesus would be raised to the age of 33 and then crucified? If that was predestination, then why would they have to move Jesus out of Bethlehem? Because it was predestined by God and God's plan. There's nobody under heaven and earth that could have done anything that way. So if God had to tell them, the angel, to take Jesus off to Egypt and hide him, then God knew that Jesus could die there. So was there a point when Jesus, the man, became God-like? Yes. And when was that point? When he met with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist took him to the Jordan. You follow that? And there he was what? The what? The removal of his sin. And what happened when the skies opened? An angel descended in the form of a dove, and heaven spoke and said, what? Behold, this is mine, in whom I am well. And it says, the Spirit lighted down on him in the form of a dove. And he was filled of the... Right. Then he was God the Spirit and God the man. But then the power of God had moved out of heaven in a symbolic form of a dove and settled on him. Then death and destiny took a change. Prior to that, Jesus was as vulnerable to life and death as everybody else. Otherwise, there would be no reason whatsoever to have him moved from Jerusalem to go all the way to Egypt, because nobody could have touched him. If destiny says he will be crucified at a certain time and raised from the dead. No one would have been able to touch him. I don't care what they thought or what they wanted to say. No one can defy the power of God. Is that right? So if that had been done in that manner, that was confession that Jesus wasn't always the God, but that Jesus was a man. And that's very important, y'all. You know why? Because when you get to the cross story, that same power of God must have left Jesus while on the cross. Now, you may not believe that, but Jesus himself did, because Jesus said, my God, what? What have thou? And you know what the word Sabachthani means in Hebrew? Left or departed from me. Sabachthani. My God, Eli, Eli. You know what Eli means? On high, Lema, why have you Sabachthani? Left me. He was now on the cross, a man could suffer. And so he said, I thirst. And that was a sign that I'm thirsty. And the mocker said, well, if you be the Son of God, why don't you just come down off the cross? And that's the same type of temptation they gave him before. He was standing over the mountain. The devil said, well, if you be the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself down and God will catch you? And he said, well, get behind me, Satan, because it's written you shall serve the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you serve. You don't tempt God. So Jesus couldn't come down off the cross on the temptation of a mortal. Could he have stepped off the cross? Could he have jumped off the cliff? The end result is what's important. He didn't. You understand what I mean? The whole story is the infection of life. The devil is already inside the church, inside the mosque. It has crept in the hearts of people and spread their venom. And preachers and teachers who haven't taken the time to study the languages, to get into the etymology of it, the meaning of the word, who haven't traveled to the spot and saw them with their own eyes, where they want to have a big church and a big following and do a whole lot of youth and hollering, but don't have, they don't teach, they preach. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a teacher. And I don't want to be preachers. I want to be teachers. I want those teachers to be people that don't believe anything. They check it out. They question anybody. I tell you, don't believe nothing I say. I'm a nut. I'm a lunatic. Especially if you ask the media here. That's because they're afraid of the truth. Because the truth and only the truth shall make you free. Not set you free. It'll make you get up off your butt and free yourself. You ain't gonna just lay into freedom. You're gonna use this truth, and this truth is gonna lift you above the mental slavery to keep you in the state of mind that you're worth it. So that's what the truth is doing. You with me? Any other questions?
As a shriner, I was wondering in the lodges or in the temple, in the Quran, El Fatiha,
yes.
I want to know about the pronunciation of it and the meaning and the way it originally comes from.
Okay. Surah Al-Fatiha is used as the opening chapter. The very name El-Fatiha, Fatiha, means to open something. Like Jesus said, I open and no man shut. But that's not the original name of the chapter. When the Muslims rewrote the Quran, they put that name there. The real name of the chapter is Alhamdulillah. To be grateful and have gratitude. And it's pronounced Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ahdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Azina amta alayhim. Ghayr al-Maktubi alayhim. Wala tawleen alayhim. And that whole chapter is broken up into three basic principles. One is, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That means to say, all gratitude and thanks, Billahi, is for Allah, who is the source, the Rabbil Alameen, the sustainer of all the boundless universes, Alumma, is what the word is. So they say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then we say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That means Rahama. The root of that word Rahama is from Arham, meaning the womb of a woman. But it's been translated to mean gracious and merciful. But it really says that we pass through by the grace of Allah, we pass through the woman. That's his grace and his mercy. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Who is he? Maliki Yawmiddin. Who? Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the Malik, the Ahlak, the ruler, the master, the sustainer, Maliki Yawmiddin, of the day when all men, women, and things will be judged. You follow that? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Yeah, it's you alone we seek for our help. Adina Sirat al-Mustafim. Guide us to this path. Put me on your path, God Almighty. And put me on that path and make it so straight and narrow that I can't get off of it. I'm a weak mortal. I can fall. Adina Sirat al-Mustafim. Get me on the Mustafim or make it so I'm like a robot in your way, God. You can't believe me. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. I don't want to be like those people who have gone astray, all those people who have brought your wrath on them. What a goalie, I mean, or those who dumber, who got off that path. I want to be on those people who stay there, to thick and thin, to up and down, to right in the hearts, but to stay on your path. I don't want to be in the path of a prophet. I don't want to be in the path of a seer or a mystic. I want to be on the path of God and God alone. And that's what makes this sound so weird. Because Muslims are on the path of Muhammad. When the quote says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Tahdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-nabiyyin an'amta 'alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. آمين means so be it. آمين comes out to mean you can trust what I just said. You can believe me, God, I'm with you. So when Friday opened the last temple with that quote, they're mocking something. If they don't understand it, Arabic language, it's wrong. They need people to come around and set the record straight. Because it ain't no joke. It's a heck of a commitment. And then they say, well, we don't really believe in Islam, but use names like Allah, Arab, and different words that shovels around in Arabic in the shrine is taboo. And they bring a wrath upon themselves. A wrath of Allah. Open up.
Does time go forward or backward?
Time doesn't go anywhere. Time doesn't move. Motion and time is an illusion. Like this sister over here, who's actually over there, because I'm over here, when I get over there, she's still going to be right there. But now I'm over here, there is still over there, you know. The question is where? Because I need a point of origin for you to find out where there is once I leave there. So let me get back over there. Which is now here, and she's now there. Where are we? Here. To someone else, we're here. There. Time is a concoction on a wall. It doesn't go anyplace. It has no arms on it, moving around in circles. It gives you the impression that time is moving forward or backward. Tomorrow does never get here. Because when tomorrow comes, you call it, and today will be, and the next day after that will be another yesterday. So it's all one big yesterday, all one big tomorrow, all one big today, and they all come out to be now. There is no such thing as time moving one direction or backwards. Please remove that concept. And for those who think they understand astronomy and say, well, in actuality, does not the planet move around the sun? Oh, yes, it does. And for that small moment and that illusion, you can fool yourself into thinking you're going somewhere unless you step back away from this solar system and look at the sun, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and then see it ain't going nowhere. You know, you're inside there moving around in circles. You ain't going nowhere laying up there. Your digestive system is working, but you ain't going nowhere. So they had to tell us that time is that way and that there's a past and that there is a future. And let me make this clear. That when, and this is the next question, that when John in the book of Revelation had a vision of the future, a prophecy, he saw it. Women. He saw it. He saw the vision. He witnessed the vision. He woke up crying the same way you do in a nightmare. He smelled the vision. You know why? Because that's when it was happening. As he was imagining it, he imagined images. As he was getting images in his mind of the events of the prophecies of the book of Revelation back in the year 96, it was happening then. Or he couldn't have imagined it. If he saw the animals, he saw the beast rising out the water on the seventh, if he saw that as vivid, then it was happening if in no other place in his head. And if it happened in his head, it happened. It may have not happened in your head, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because it did happen somewhere in space and time, but in his head. So there's no prophecy that's coming from the past forward. They're all here. You follow? You don't have to go seek your ancestors. Your ancestors are looking right at you. Your relatives will pass on, as you say, the nice word pass, because you get the impression that it went that way. They haven't gone nowhere. They're right here. They hear you. They're talking to you. They're communicating with you daily. You just have closed yourself off because of religious dogma. And say, I ain't going to communicate with my grandmother, because that would be sacrilegious. According to whose doctrine? According to whose doctrine? Because it's definitely not Jesus' doctrine. Because Moses and Elijah were Jesus' relatives, and they came to him and talked to him in the transfiguration period. So you're not alone from talking to your ancestor or talking to your grandmother. See, somewhere on the line, someone came in and defined doctrine. They defined religion. They defined it for us, and they gave us their interpretation of it. You understand? Like I said in the beginning, I was trying to throw a thought in my mind that if God was in the beginning, right, then that wasn't the beginning. So if God said let there be light, then God was already there. So that was a beginning, not the beginning. In a beginning and the beginning. Every child born into the world is a beginning. But no child born into the world is the beginning. So if God was there to say, let there be light, that was not the beginning. That was in the beginning. Not at the very beginning. Are you hearing me? That's what I was talking about.
I'm going to Revelation. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her jealousy. Who is this? Is this not the World Trade Building? Is this not the United Nations? Are people made rich by buying and selling here? If you don't believe me, ask what's his name. Saddam Hussein. America told the whole world Don't sell them nothing. What they call it? Sanctions. Sanctions. Cut them off. Like Revelation chapter 13 says, whoever doesn't have the mark of the beast will not be able to what? Buy or sell no more in beast. For a man to stand up and tell people, starve that man to death. And everybody's afraid to sell himself because they will be cut off. That ain't a revelation manifesting in front of your eyes, ain't nothing. A man said, don't let him buy or sell no more because he doesn't want to wear the mark of the United Nations and fall on their law. Is that not happening? Am I making this up? Listen, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. People come over here from China in their clothes and in their tradition. They come from India, from Sudan, Egypt, London, Germany, Holland. Within a matter of years, they're out of their customs, out of their traditions, out of their food, out of their God, and out of their damn mind. Because because they get seduced by the fornications of this vicious house. It strips people. Heck, you know, you see a bunch of Chinese people with blonde hair. A whole bunch of Negroes with perms and I think it's not permanent, so they should call it a temp. Because in 3 months you got to do it again. If it was a perm, it would be there one time and there forever. So they're lying to you. It's not a permanent. It's a temp. You with me? And then you're extending it. I hope I hurt nobody's feelings. But there's a way. Let me go on down. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plague. That's what's going on now in the country. Plague, AIDS, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, and diseases, they're not mentioning to you because you ain't ready for them yet. Food is dying. Hail in Georgia last month. Hail like this. Italy, landslides, mudslides, earthquakes, more tornadoes in 1 year than ever in the history of the world. Right or wrong?
Right.
Nature is shaking her shoulders at that. Look at these bugs. Locusts? Were we back in the book of Exodus somewhere? Death, the plague of death. People are dying. They said that AIDS is now called an epidemic in the black community. Hear me? Out of every 7 people of the whole United States, 3 of them to catch AIDS are black, between 14 and 44. Think about that. Is that not an epidemic? How do we stop it? Tell y'all to stop screwing. I got grown kids. Tell them to stop screwing like, okay, father. You did it for the love. All the adults there know what I'm talking about. We come from a different day and time than you do. But we can see the plague. The food is going bad. The crops are not growing properly. At long term, there's no two in the computer. They got to recalibrate the computers in the year 2000. It's going to shut down all kinds of things. And then billions and billions and billions of dollars are put up to reconfigurate the figures in the computer. And the country is banned by computers today. The world is the net, a spider web on the back of the dollar bill. Yes, we are in the day of play. People walking around with all kind of rashes. You can't identify. The doctors can't identify them. Doctors seeing things in hospitals now they've never seen before. They look at that, whoo. Well, that's serious. When a doctor goes, whoo, you got a problem. Doctors are resigning. I had a brother talk to me yesterday. I saw him in a restaurant. He said, "Pops, I'm thinking about becoming a barber." I said, "You want to touch people? You want to touch people's heads with rashes and wingworms and all these diseases? You actually want to touch somebody's head? The art now is to avoid touching people. Be friendly. No kisses. No hugs. Speak. Be polite. Don't touch me." You understand the importance of that?
Yes.
I'm afraid to get on a basketball court. It's frightening, man. You run a full court, you start sweating, the niggas turn their head and that spit go in your mouth. But it can't happen. Benjamin never got Jerry curls up there. It's all greasy. And that thing about age, guess what? Never say, no, it doesn't, age cannot be transmitted. Some of that, because these people here find out how age can be transmitted, then they tell us. Now they're saying, well, certain mosquitoes don't die immediately after they sting people. Certain strands of mosquitoes that are moving to America from Africa. Why? Because the climate is changing. This is tropical. Look. This is tropical. There's going to be more insects. That means more diseases. More plagues. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But you were warned. You hear me? Dead. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and that would be Orion. Look it up in the Logos Bible or online, bring the word up and look it up. And God has remembered her iniquity. The sins of the world have gotten so bad that they are sin like the scent of incense burners, and God is remembering. Even my God is remembering her iniquity. I'll tell you. I don't want this. I want this to tell you. Because there's another time in here where God got to that point. What did he say? The evils of man was evil continuously. So I must destroy this man. This poet is saying the same thing. That the evils have gotten to the point where they went to bury Orion. And God remembered when man was this evil before. When Sodom and Gomorrah and Jethro, and that's what they call Jericho, and Babylon, and the wicked city were ruined. Well, that's why they refer to this as Babylon. Because they're taking you back to that point where they will have to destroy. And Babylon did not come after the Bible. The city of Babylon existed before the Bible. Read the Bible. You find out that this book is based on today's culture, not Egyptian culture. The Egyptians had a culture, like I said earlier, when Abraham got there, they didn't start with their Adam, but they didn't even know, the Pharaoh didn't even know who Moses' God was. He said, "My God's name is I Am That I Am." He said, "Really? Well, which one is he?" It came out by the time they got to the book of Revelation that the God that Israelites was talking about was the God Amun. Because Revelation 3:14 says, and use the actual Egyptian deity Amun. And every Christian, at the end of every prayer, gives praise to Amun-Ra. They say, Amen. Every Muslim gives praise to Amun-Ra. He says, Amen. Amen. And if you look it up, you find out that that is a Roman, Egyptian deity, Amun-Ra, the sun god. Want me to correlate the sun to Jesus for you? Or do you all remember those facts? Huh? Because you can match Jesus up with the sun. Exactly. The sun sets, Jesus dies. The sun raises, Jesus resurrects. Jesus walks the water, the sun's light walks the water. Jesus multiplies the bread, the sun causes horrors, horizon, horoscope. Egyptian mystery, Horus, that's your Jesus. Also called in Babylon, or amongst the Sumerians, Amun. One and the same. People borrowing people's cultures and laying them over themselves the same way. The nation of Islam borrowed Islam and laid it over Christianity. And people really think they belong to a Muslim group. And if you study Arabic and read it, you'll find out that the 5% or the gods of the earth, they broke off from the nation of Islam through Clarence 13X, and now we have a fraction of a faction that will tell you they're right and be ready to fight about being right when they're wrong. Hello. You with me? Says how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I am a queen. The word queen means prostitute. Look it up. And am no widow and shall not be sorry. This people they're talking about have went to Vietnam and caused severe knee problems. Went to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and caused those people problems. Went to Panama and caused them problems. Went to Grenada and caused them problems. Now they're in India and they're in Arabia and they're in Iraq. Where don't they go and cause sorrow and hardship? And then boast that nobody can take us down. Isn't that what you said? It's easy, and I'm going with it. It's easy to find out who this is calling the devil and a wicked people. And it says, come out of her. Be not partakers of her sin. Let me tell you how you do not partake of her sin. You don't identify with her God or her devil. If you identify with their God, you must identify with their devil. If you believe in their God, you must believe in their concept of a devil. Now, if you say I'm a Christian, yeah, you with me? If you say that I'm a Christian, right, what do Christians believe about the devil? Before you start, according to Christianity in the Bible, where did the devil come from? Huh?
Heaven.
He fell from heaven. Who created the devil? The next question would be why? So religion leaves you at that point where it does not make sense. Why would you create a being that's going to cause all of this to go on in the world? They can't answer it. I say again, once you accept their concept of God, then you must accept their concept of the devil. Muslims have the same foolish belief, and so do Jews. You got to give them back all of their concepts and set the concept of belief and fact on what you have experienced. Now, if you have never seen a flying saucer, don't believe anybody who says they have, including me, until you have the experience. Now, you say, well, Papa, I love you. I want to trust you. Thank you. next thing you say is going to happen. Fine. That's your own conviction. I am not going to tell you to believe and find sources if you haven't seen. Who here has seen a flying saucer with their own eyes? See, some of us have. Some of y'all haven't. So we sound crazy to you. And you sound crazy to us for not believing it with all of the stacks of evidence that the government shows you on television. They call it classified. The government created a whole called Project Blue Book and put $1 billion in it. There's a whole goon Air Force base that nobody could go into. Well, they're over there testing they're gonna test something over the used on people in Iraq. What are they doing with it now? Oh, the Roswell, that was just some dummies in a weather balloon. And it goes on, and millions of people all over the world are being abducted. And they all are saying the exact same thing and describing the exact same people, whether it's in Hindi or Arabic or Spanish or French or Italian or German, whatever language they're speaking, they say the same thing. They say little men. I think they're men, but they have no apparent sexual organs. With big heads. Some grayish or brownish in complexion, with large eyes and little slits. Some had five fingers, some had four, some had three, some had like claws, which means there's some type of mutation or evolution or graftation or genetic experiment going on amongst them also. But millions of people all over the world, not just crazy people, scientists, doctors, reverends, policemen, what else? Military President Carter, our Georgia boy, confirmed he saw a UFO. And so did Reagan. And so did Kennedy. And so did Truman. And so did your boy Elvis Presley. And so did Jimi Hendrix. And so did Marvin Gaye. There's a whole book of all the stars that saw them. You listen to their music and cry with them and make love to them. But when they say, I believe in the UFO, oh, he's crazy there. Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? Save the children. I love that. I believe in the UFO. Oh, the boy's crazy. What are the chances of people all over the world speaking different languages who've never come in contact with each other having the same experience? What is the chance? All these people got together and conspired. Why is the question? Why? What would be the reason? Why would a guy in Germany and a guy in Mexico have the exact same story? I mean, the exact same story. What? How? In Puerto Rico, Chupacabra. How? And all these people in Puerto Rico, everybody in Puerto Rico is crazy, right? Farmers, villagers who have no interest in the public or the media say, yeah, I saw one run by. A bloodsucker, they call it. But y'all who haven't had the experience, look it up, call us crazy. We wonder why you haven't had the experience. Let me see them hands again. The ones who have had the experience, some type of UFO or phenomenon. I'm saying, you know, quite a few of us have. And fighting it. Because when I was a little kid, and my sister's probably sitting out here right now somewhere, she'll tell you, when I was a little kid, I could disappear for weeks. That's what's in my bag there. Is that true? What did y'all used to do? Tell the truth. Give her a mic to the dog and beat the hell out of it. Hold the head.
What would y'all do? When you came back, you
expected.
A spanking, they called. Okay, when you disappear, we didn't know what happened to you. When we come back, we have like heavy nosebleeds and stuff like that. And he was, as a kid then, saying that he was affected. And we was like, yeah, right. And he was this is true, believe me. And he was a little kid not knowing anything about this. There was no TV, no media about abductions and stuff like that. And this is what.
Don't tell him that. That's talking about how old I am. It's real. And those of us who've had the real experiences and suffered the traumas of it all our lives, it ain't no joke about it. Y'all people held deadly and said, why would somebody abduct me? They do two things. They abduct and they abduct it. these women and said they took me on a ship and they saw that I was so attractive that they wanted to have my baby, so they did it. Right? Then there's other people say they took me up there, they experimented on me, they were sticking tubes in my head and stuff, and then I don't know what happened after that. Other people say they sat down and told me I'm special. And they're going to take me off to heaven with them. What are some of the other ones? Anybody got any of them?
Yeah. They will tell your world that
they're
messing up.
They said to inform the world that you human beings are messing up and you better turn around and change things before it's too late. Right?
Yep.
What else? Anybody
else? They come back with metallic oxygen.
Yeah, but
people come back with metallic like objects all over their
I have one over here. Right. That's where the blood came from. Huh?
Showing signs of the future.
They sometimes project a screen for you to see, like they do me. And I can foresee things are gonna come in hundreds of years. I come tell y'all. And then they come back, come to pass. And then y'all still say, it's crazy. Who else? Do you know how many of them are walking on the planet Earth as human beings? Passing themselves off as humans? Mixing into the society of man? Not only good ones. They want to use humans for food, some of them. Don't feel bad. Chickens feel that way about you. You just another part of the chain of life. You sit down and eat a curry, let go. How do you think goats feel? You got them locked in your yard inside a gate. Raise them to kill them, to cut them, to eat them. And then when a couple of y'all get abducted and some extraterrestrials put you somewhere and raise y'all to cut you, to eat you, maybe they don't curry you or barbecue. They might got some other term they use. You feel like, yeah, they're right. Almost anybody on television says the same thing. It ain't right. You just can't do that to people. Is that what they say? That's not right. They just came to my bed, woman took me out and just did things to me. Some people liked it. Some people hated it. Everyone waits for the extraterrestrial late night. But it is happening. And then don't let...
What does it mean when you wake up and you have scratches all over your body?
Could mean you have a cat, this man. I'm just starting from the bottom.
Okay.
You got to start from the root. Oh, true, but I don't know, really. So it could be a cat that's mad at you, right?
I got no cat.
All right. It could be entities that are messing with you. They do have disembodied beings that do have the power to affect things on your side. And they attack people, shove people downstairs, scratch people up. There are a lot of dead people that did not make it to the other side. And they're roaming. People down Georgia here that were hung. Grabbed out their houses. Some of our grandfathers, I have folks in Brooklyn, that was some of you young people too young. Anybody here over 35 or 40 that's from the South knows what I'm talking about. Where crackers came and grabbed them out their houses at night. And hung, castrated, burned their relatives right in front of everybody in the family. And nobody could do nothing. The trauma of that kind of death makes it impossible for the spirit to get to the other side. It can't make a smooth transition. They become anybody's soul trapped on this side. And they terrorize. You know when they dug up Mega Evans' body? Remember his wife had it dug up?
Yeah.
It was totally preserved. As if it never had been embalmed. Did y'all know that? Don't trust me. You know me. Don't believe me. Go check that out. You'd be amazed. When they dug up his body after that many years, his body was perfectly preserved. Will. He did not want to perish until the case solved. And they exhumed his body and they solved the case. You understand? I bet you his body will start to wither now. That's the power of God in you. Not of God, you as God can make that happen. Can you imagine that? Every Pharaoh would tell you his secret. You know, hell of a lot. Anybody else want to talk about it? Yes.
Brother, I have a question. What is more like advice? But 3 weeks ago, I was experienced a ringing in my ear. I get them frequently, but this one was like intense. And now I can't hear, or it's like pressure is in my left ear. I was wondering, has anyone come to you?
All the time. All the time. And especially around this part of the year because of the pollen. See, there's a lot of pollen in the air, more so than ever because there's a cloud mass that's keeping the pollen in. Because of the weather we had, and all the plants are overdeveloped. So a lot of people are pouring into the hospitals with sinus problems, colds like you wouldn't breathe, headaches, migraines, ringing in their head, and it's because of the pollen. I'm not saying that's your case, but you ask me, have I heard of anyone? And when I do, I say, yes, I go take some contracts and the ringing will go away. And it's okay. They go take the contract and they tell me, oh, the ringing went away. Yours might be something different. I don't know.
Because it's like, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe.
You have a hole in your ear?
Yes.
Hole for number one.
One on the right.
On the right ear? Okay, go ahead.
It's like I'm afraid. Cause
don't be afraid.
I don't want to go to the doctor.
Don't be afraid. The doctor can't tell you nothing. That ringing in your ear is alignment. People with holes in their ears over here, some have one, some have two. Those are people that are going, I'm trying to think of another word for it. I can't think of anything else other than the word counselor. When the elders come, when God comes, right, and the voice of God is spoken, it's going to be in sound, not in language. And these people who are being aligned are going to be the ones to tell people where to go. Those are chosen people, and they will be said, they'll hear voices in their head. Now, some people hear voices in their head now and end up in the nut house. But the reality of that is that it's a fact that people can hear voices in their head. You understand my point? The fact that doctors will put people in the hospital and put them on certain types of medication because doctors have come to the conclusion that, yes, certain people do hear voices in their head. Wait, Bun?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And have went out and killed people because the voices said, go kill somebody. Say it again?
They
and they'll blame it on Tupac. There you go. Remember that one. You're up, this is the reality. Go ahead.
And they camouflage into human beings. Right?
They're people. No, no. They're beings that are descending to earth, extraterrestrial, disagreeables, right? In the form of human beings, not descending into human beings. They won't come into and take your body. They're not walking. They are acting people that are here on earth like heads of record companies, heads of the movies, controlling the lives of many people. I'm not going to say Michael Jackson, but everybody wants me to say Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is a confused nigga. I ain't talking about, but there are people that are in power, like Bill Gates, right, who's controlling. When he held back, how many people in the computer? The other day when he held back Windows 90, what? Anybody went, what? You was like affected emotionally. How dare them hold back Windows 98? I need that. What? Didn't you have an emotional effect? You was like waiting to go to the store. Car, oh, that's the gas key. We're going out to the video store and get this 98. And that would have been the rest of your day. Put it in, storing it, and then held it back. So wait a minute. We're not sure we're going to release it. That's long enough to frustrate everybody. Then Bill Gates, okay, it's going out. What's the point? Control. Mind control. Right, yeah.
All right. What I was trying to lead to was, just suppose that you can see these beings that are camouflaging themselves. What is happening to you?
They're not camouflaging themselves, Sandra. They're walking around every day with you. I can point out some of them. The guy comes on stuff all the time and teaches all the stars about how to make money and all that. You can see he's a binary. About almost 7 feet tall. Oh, he's a struggle. The whole lot of them. So many of them out there now, and they are controlling the lives. L. Ron Hubbard. They're controlling Dianetics. These are organizations. The Scientology movement. These are groups of extraterrestrials from the Pleiades or Aldebaran or Astral Command that's incarnated here and are staring people down a certain direction. And they become extremely numb.
I have another related question.
Okay.
By the book of Barbara.
I sure do. Barnabas. Where it said Barnabas?
Barnabas.
Yeah, they tricked that to a purpose. So you don't understand Bar and Nabus, what it means.
My question is, which sign is actually the seed of the blessed child is? Is it Isaac or is it Ishmael?
Okay. Isaac is the rightful heir. That's according to the Tanakh or the Torah and the Talmud writings of the so-called Jews. Isaac. Ishmael is not the rightful heir. Only further down in history did they say in about the sons of Ishmael that they will be a mighty nation, 12 princes, and the tribe of Kedar shall breed a great nation. Kedar, which is the second son of Ishmael, gave birth to Muhammad. Of 1400 years ago in Arabia and took the Arabs out of a backward state, if you ever read up on Islam, the state they were in, and civilized them only for them to be invaded by Turkish and them, take over Islam and turn it back to the barbaric. Now, some people hear voices in their head now. You don't know that? Don't trust me. You know me. Don't believe me. Go check that out. You'll be amazed. When they dug up his body after that many years, his body was perfectly preserved. He did not want to perish until the case solved.
Right.
And they assumed his body and they solved the case. You understand? And I bet you his body will start to wither now. That's the power of God in you.
Yeah.
Not of God, you as God can make that happen. Can you imagine that? Every pharaoh would say you his secret. A hell of a lot. Anybody else want to talk about it? Yes.
Brother, I have a question. What is more like advice? But 3 weeks ago, I was experienced a ringing in my ear. I get them frequently, but this one was like intense. And now I can't hear, or it's like pressure is in my left ear. I was wondering, has anyone come to you?
All the time, and especially around this part of the year because of the pollen. See, there's a lot of pollen in the air, more so than ever because there's a cloud mass that's keeping the pollen in. Because of the weather we had, and all the plants are overdeveloped. So a lot of people are pouring into the hospitals with sinus problems, colds like you wouldn't believe, headaches, migraines, ringing in their head. And it's because of the pollen. I'm not saying that's your case, but you ask me, have I heard of anyone? And when I do, I say, yes, I go take some contracts and the ringing will go away. And it's okay. They go take the contracts and they tell me, oh, the ringing went away. Yours might be something different. I don't know.
It's like, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe.
You have a hole in your ear?
Yes.
Both of them or one?
light.
On the right here? Okay, go ahead.
It's like I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid.
I don't want to go to the doctor.
Don't be afraid. The doctor can't tell you nothing. Everything in your ear is alignment. People with holes in their ear over here, some have one, some have two. Those are people that are going, I'm trying to give another word for it. I can't think of anything else other than the word counselor. When the elders come, when God comes, right, and the voice of God is spoken, it's going to be in sound, not in language. And these people who are being aligned are going to be the ones to tell people where to go. Those are chosen people, and they will be sent, they'll have voices in their head. Now, some people hear voices in their head now and end up in the nut house. But the reality of that is that it's a fact that people can hear voices in their head. You understand my point? The fact that doctors will put people in the hospital and put them on certain types of medication because doctors have come to the conclusion that, yes, certain people do hear voices in their head. Wait, Bon?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And have went out and killed people because the voice said, go kill somebody. Say it again? And they'll blame it on Tupac. There you go. Remember that one, right? Europe, this is the reality. Go ahead.
And camouflage into human beings. Right?
They're beings. No. They're beings that are descending to earth, extraterrestrials, disagreeables, right? In the form of human beings, not descending into human beings. They won't come into and take her body. They're not walking. They are acting people that are here on earth like heads of record companies, heads of the movies, controlling the lives of many people. I'm not going to say Michael Jackson, but everybody wants me to say Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is a confused name. I ain't talking about the people that are in power, like Bill Gates, right? Who's controlling? When he held back, how many people in the computer? The other day when he held back Windows 90, what? Everybody went, what? He was like affected emotionally. How dare them hold back Windows 98? I need that. What? Didn't you have an emotional effect? He was like waiting to go to store. Car, that's the gas key. We're going out to the video store and get this 98. And I would have been the rest of your day putting it in, storing it, and they held it back. So wait a minute. We're not sure we're going to release it. That's long enough to frustrate anybody. Then Bill Gates said, okay, it's going out. What's the point? Control. Mind control. Go ahead, Jeff.
What I was trying to lead to was, just suppose that you can see these beings that are camouflaging themselves. What is happening to you?
They're not camouflaging themselves, Sandra. They're walking around every day with you. I can point out some of them. The guy comes on stuff all the time. He teaches all the stars about how to make money and all that. You can see he's a binary. He's almost 7 feet tall. Oh, he's the whole lot of the CBA. So many of them out there now, and they are controlling the lives. L. Ron Hubbard. They control Dianetics. These are organizations. The Scientology movement. These are groups of extraterrestrials from the Pleiadians or Aldebaran or Astral Command that's incarnated here and are staring people down a certain direction. And they become extremely numb. Yes, brother.
I have another related question.
Okay.
All right. I'm pretty sure you know about the Book of
Barnabas. I sure do. Barnabas. They took that to a purpose. So you don't understand Ba and Nabus, what it means.
My question is, which sign is actually the seed of the blessed child is? Is it Isaac or is it Ishmael?
Okay. Isaac is the rightful heir. That's according to the Tanakh or the Torah and the Talmud writings of the so-called Jew. Isaac. Ishmael is not the rightful heir. Only further down in history did they say in about the sons of Ishmael that they will be a mighty nation, 12 princes, and the tribe of Kedar
children shall breed a great nation. Kedar, which is the second son of Ishmael, gave birth to Muhammad of 1400 years ago in Arabia and took the Arabs out of a backward state, if you ever read up on Islam, the state they were in, and civilized them, only for them to be invaded by Turkish in them, take over Islam, and turn it back to the barbaric terrorist religion it is today. That was Isaac, the rightful son. And Ishmael was later as a wild ass of a man, because remember, Ishmael was the son of Hagar, and Hagar was the daughter of the Pharaoh. That was a special gift. So they knew that the seed of Ishmael would come out of her and set up and mix in with the seed of Midian. And Midian's seed came from Abraham's third wife, Keturah. And she had six sons. And that's when Moses went to Midian to get taught by them before he went to Egypt. So he got taught by an Ishmaelite about Eliel, who later on became known as Yahweh, good and evil. And all that was done through the Ishmaelite seed. But the covenant was made with Ishmael. With Isaac to Israel, Jacob, according to the Bible. The Muslims can say anything they want 1,400 years, but thousands of years after I write the book, what would Muslims have said if the Bible wasn't there and they weren't trying to establish a new religion? You follow what I'm trying to say? That, in fact, I graduated from the University of Al-Azhar in Egypt, specializing in Islamic studies and Semitic languages. So Arabic is one of my languages. So in reading the studies and doing the research in Arabic, you find out the Muslims in America don't know what they're talking about. And I taught Muslims Arabic for 25 years. And they still don't know what they're talking about. Yes, there is a such thing as Shabbat. Again, Shabbat is a Hebrew practice that Muslims took in and pushed it to Friday and called it Yom Jumah. The word Yom Jumah really simply means Yom Day El Jumah, together. But Shabbat Yom is also in Hebrew a day of gathering. So the Muslims set it up on Friday at 1 o'clock, and they go to the masjid, and they have an imam give a khutbah, a lecture, community fairs, pay zakat, and go home. That's a Christian practice. Come to church, hear a sermon from a pulpit, pay your tithings, and go home. Not in an Islamic or Hebraic culture. Whereas the Jews, 19 minutes before sunset on Friday night, they enter into a state of Shabbat, which means desisting, not resting, desisting from activity to give all due to the Most High for the blessings that he gives you. And then 19 minutes before sunset on Saturday, they break the Shabbat and light a candle and break the bread and drink the wine, which is supposed to be, that's where the Christians got, Jesus said, the wine is my blood and the blood is my flesh. Yes, there is a Shabbat, and we are supposed to keep the Shabbat. You follow? Because it goes back all the way to Genesis, way before Abraham or Moses ever even had a book. So it's recognized as a Judaic practice, but it goes back to the Sumerians. And that goes back to when Cain and Abel was asked by the Anunnaki to prepare a meal to test which way their natures have gone, because they were product of cloning of agreeable Kutite and disagreeable Kutite and agreeable Havilite. When they mixed these to see the car with a perfect person, they were testing them to see with effort. So they told both sons, go prepare a feast for the God. And one son threw it together like a chicken pot pie white, and another one baked the bread from the ground, from the. So the man looked at the woman who baked the bread from the, and said, that woman put love and care into, I accept that woman. But the woman that goes in the closet and takes the fridge and takes out a frozen dinner and pops in the box, the man goes like this. That's what the Cain and Abel story is about. And that goes all the way back that day that Cain was rejected or not respected, and
Abel accepted was a day of rest because of Cain killing Abel. The gods grieved because they considered it their responsibility. And don't let nobody say the gods don't grieve because Jesus cried at the tomb of Lazarus. They'll say, you mean, you always have an answer for them. When you say, like, the gods give it, the gods don't grieve, then why would Jesus be crying? And why did God say, regret me that I created man? That was another regret because they felt when it came to Cain, before he killed Abel and so Cain, all you got to do is go back in the kitchen and put your best in it. But if you don't, evil is lying at the door waiting for you. In other words, you're going to get madder and madder. It says right in the Bible, but his consonants dropped. You know what that means? He started smoking like we niggas do when we get mad. And when we start smoking, when our consonants drop, we lose control. And we find ourselves doing some things that we never thought we would do, and we regret forever. That's what that story is really talking about. All right? Go ahead.
Jealous God.
I'm say it again. Say it again. I am.
Jealous God.
Blessed is the such thing as a jealous God. When God says, worship me and me alone, what is he saying? First of all, he's confessing that there must be other gods his equal. See, in Islam, they make the statement, and they say Allah is the most merciful. And the question should be out of what? Because if you're the only God, and the only God with that kind of power, then you should have no fear of rivalry. If I was the only cowboy, I don't have to worry about there being no other cowboys. But if there's other cowboys, and I want your full attention, I say have no other cowboy, because if you do, I'm jealous. Because I'm the cowboy that gave you your cowboy suit. I made you my image after my likeness, so don't go off to no other God. That confession in the Bible tells you there's other gods. That God is worried about them. Your brother.
Yes.
That God, and I'm jealous. Don't worship nobody but me. How does God get jealous of another being? There are other beings equal to them. Muslims say all the time, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. They said, I bear witness what? There's only one God, him alone shall you worship. Right? La ilaha illallah. There's no God but Allah, they say. Why would I have to keep saying that? I worship Allah alone. I worship Allah alone. There's no God but you. There's no God. You are Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Worship master. To them. Allah is the greatest. To them. The greatest out of what? How could God be the greatest of anything? How can he be compared to anything? Or, you know what I'm saying? Their very own doctrine is a confession of their own fears and weaknesses. The almighty, powerful, loving being that permeates through all of us has no fear of nothing. Cannot be challenged. Cannot be altered. Cannot be added to. It cannot be taken away from. That's why we here in the Wapians refer to him as, or I shouldn't even say him, refer to him as the All. The All. And the All is defined as relating to this side, our physical. It will be just All when we shed the physical and we live in an etheric or spiritual state. But as long as we're in the physical, where things must be defined by some for weight, then we become definite articles. The God. And that's why when you ask the Muslims to translate the word Allah, they say El Ilah, the God. You see, that's a definite article, a noun. A noun is a person. So how can he be the God, a noun, and then be a lady? In Arabic, unseen. Anything that is a person, place, or thing can be seen. So the Quran, the next verse says, to believe in the lady, the unseen thing. Something. Nothing. See that?
Right.
Something. Density. Weight. Content. The sum. They spell it S-O-M-E.
when they want to spell it S-U-M-T-H-I-N-G. Something. Anything that is something has weight. You follow that? Anything that exists without weight is nothing. No thing. No is abbreviated N-O as number without weight or content before hydrogen. So the divine exists in a world of nothingness. And we exist in a world of something and then some things. And God is the something and we are the some. And that's why we're called being and he's called the supreme being. You follow? And that is all on the physical side of things. But to get to the bosom, you must get past the physical world and into the etheric world, which is nothing. No weight. No density. No space. And if they say that's impossible, then tell me how love makes people kill each other. You can't weigh love. Right? But you can feel love. And a broken heart can kill a man. Give a man a cardiac arrest. His heart will cease to function because a woman leaves him or vice versa. They call, they'll say, he died of a crack, broken heart. Where the untangible becomes tangible. It affects the tangible.
Begin all.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that he is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.